Good morning. It's nice seeing everyone talking and getting together on this first Sunday of 2025 when there might be snow coming and people are excited. And on this first Sunday, I do want to welcome you to Hebron Presbyterian Church. You may be feeling optimistic about the new year or feeling a little gray because at this time of year that does set in for lots of people to be aware of that. You may be recovering from food overdose. You may be here or online, but wherever you are, you're in the right place because this is a place where you are seen and valued because our Lord has taught us that. May you experience the presence of a living Jesus today. I have three announcements. One is that next Sunday, the 12th, plan to stay after church and not to cook because there's a second Sunday prayer luncheon, which is a time for gathering around the meal table and talking, and then have a special time for prayer for the needs of the church and the world. So that's next Sunday. Today we welcome back to the pulpit our good friend Dr. Shelley Barrett Parsons to preach while Reverend Noah Morgan is away. And we don't mean to smother you, Shelley, but I think we would all like to hear what's going on with you and your work. Which brings me to my third announcement. It would be an ideal place to catch up with Shelley and others in the congregation if you take a few minutes to go to Holman Hall after church, after the postlude, and get something to nibble on or something to drink and catch up with people. You'll be blessed with that time. Are there any other announcements for the good of the gathering? Then let us prepare our hearts with a prelude. Please rise in body or in spirit as we are called to worship. The glory of God has now appeared.
Through Christ our light in flesh.
The reign of God has now arrived.
Through Christ our King, our eternal ruler.
The mystery of God has been revealed.
Through Christ our peace, ever reconciled.
with the stars to lead us and the magi to teach us. We come bringing our gifts to worship God.
The same God who gathers you for worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God of endless light, you sent a star rising from darkness, guiding seekers and sages, overwhelming us with joy. Let the splendor of your dawning light grow in us and in all the world until the whole creation shines with your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our light. Amen. Please be seated.
The prophet speaks of the coming light of God, which calls all people of the earth to come together in God's realm of shalom. Let us confess the ways in which we have rejected God's vision of wholeness. We search for your light, divine radiance, but too often end up settling for the dimness of temptation. Our motives for seeking to find Christ are not always pure, for we expect him to fulfill our desires rather than your hopes for us. We want the gifts of wealth, health, success, gratification, rather than those of servanthood, of compassion, of peace. Forgive us that we are so foolish to put our needs ahead of your grace. Help us to be like those wise people of long ago, who found hope while searching for a destination, who found grace while expecting a reward, who found salvation while seeking a sign. As we journey with your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fill us with the light of your joy and love.
Lift up your eyes and see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God poured out into our lives. The light of God shines through the darkness. Our hearts rejoice with Christ in our midst. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith that holds us together, that holds us fast, using the words of the Confession of 1967, which hopefully is printed in your bulletin. All right, let us join together. Out of Israel, God in due time raised up Jesus. His faith and obedience were the response of the perfect child of God. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, the beginning of the new creation, and the pioneer of the new humanity. He gave history its meaning and direction and called the church to be his servant for the reconciliation of the world. You may be seated. Let us pray. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through God. As we read and reflect on your scriptures, O Lord, we pray that your Spirit will move among us so that we might hear your Word, your light shining in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Listen now for God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. John himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 60. Listen again for God's word in the reading of the scripture. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Arise, shine, your light has come, the true light that shines on all peoples. God, through the prophet of Isaiah, is promising to those returning from exile, to those already present in rebuilding Jerusalem, arise, shine, your light has come. You will be the beacon of God. Your lives and words will become a compelling message that draws people in, that rebuilds and reorients your community back to God. And God promises in Isaiah, if those hearing Isaiah's words respond, nations will come to your light, and leaders will be drawn to the radiance of Israel. And also Isaiah tells them, if you look closely and carefully, this has already begun. Lift up your eyes and look around. They have gathered. They will come to you. God, throughout the book of Isaiah, through the words of Isaiah, has laid out a clear understanding of what it looks like to arise, to shine, to be the beacon to the nations, to proclaim a compelling message that witnesses to the true light that shines on all people. Isaiah does it in a couple of ways throughout Isaiah. In some theological terms that we might call affirmations of faith, and then some pretty clear ethical instructions on how to act. So first, that affirmation of faith, those theological terms, are justice and righteousness. Affirming that God is just and righteous, consistently and forever just and righteous is God. To those whom God calls, they must trust that God is just and righteous. Isaiah 32 describes what God's justice and righteousness will bring if people trust. Then justice will reside in the wild lands, and righteousness will abide in the farmlands. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The outcome of righteousness will be calm and security forever. My people will live in a peaceful dwelling, in secure homes, and in carefree resting places. Another place in Isaiah, the prophet describes what happens when God's justice and righteousness reigns is that people will rest and return to God. God's justice and righteousness applies to everyone. It applies to all of creation, according to Isaiah, but especially in Isaiah. And this is where they kind of got in trouble. And while you see, if you read Isaiah, the ups and downs of promises of return and comfort and exclamations of exile and destruction. So God's justice and righteousness applies to everyone, but the expectation for living it out is especially on those in positions of power and authority. They have greater responsibility to see God's justice and righteousness proclaimed and lived out. Those with power reflect God's justice by behaving honestly, generously, and respectfully to those without power and resources. According to Isaiah in chapter 32, he says this: a king rules to promote righteousness. Rulers govern to promote justice, each like a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in a wasteland, like a shade of a massive cliff in a worn out land. First, those whom God calls must trust that God is always just and righteous. And second, must reflect that in how they order their individual and corporate lives. So first, we must trust that God is just and righteous. And second, we must live that out, both individually and corporately, which leads to that next aspect of becoming a beacon for God, of proclaiming the compelling message of God. And that's how we live our lives, our ethics. One best reflects God's justice and righteousness, not in how one treats those who hold power and wealth or those who hold a secure place in the community. Instead, one witnesses to God's justice and righteousness in how one attends to those without standing. The widow, the orphan, the needy come up multiple times throughout the book of Isaiah. At the very beginning, Isaiah 1 points this out about where Israel fell short. Wash, be clean, Isaiah says. Remove your ugly deeds from my sight. Put an end to such evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Isaiah 58 details how a righteous and just faith is lived out by God's people. It's setting free the mistreated, sharing your bread with the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into your house, covering the naked when you see them. It's hard not to see where Matthew gets a lot of his writing. You have that in Matthew 25 or the Beatitudes. You can see he was influenced by the prophets. In 58, Isaiah goes on to say, then your light will break out like the dawn, and you will be healed quickly. Doing these things will be a beacon. Your own righteousness will walk before you, and the Lord will be your rear guard. If you open your heart to the hungry and provide abundantly for those who are afflicted, your light will shine in the darkness, and your gloom will be like noon. For Israel and for us to be a light to the nations, to be a light to our neighbors, we must live differently and witness to God's righteous justice and how we include and empower our neighbors without resources and power. The Book of Common Worship in 2018 talked a little bit about this and the ways that we can walk in justice and be beacons to the community. It calls us to exercise our power for the common good, to deal honestly in personal and private matters, to seek the dignity and freedom of people, to welcome the stranger, to promote justice and fairness in the law, to overcome disparities, to bear witness against violence, and to redress the wrongs against individuals, groups, and peoples. So if we affirm that God is consistently just and righteous, as Isaiah describes, and we want to witness to this unending, consistent justice and righteousness in our treatment of others, this is what will draw people to God. This is what makes us a beacon. And if only it was that easy. John 1 reminds us that it was not that simple or easy. Even those who had firsthand access to God incarnate struggled. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. We all hope when we're faced with the hopeful words of the prophet, whether it's Isaiah or John the Baptist, or if we met Jesus incarnate, we too would proclaim we have seen his glory, glory like the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We hope that we would proclaim that, and we hope that we would live it. But we know that Isaiah in chapter 60 didn't have the last word. John the Baptist, even when he pointed to Jesus, was not the last word, and that people rejected God's own Son and his proclamation of justice and righteousness. Like those responding to Isaiah, to John the Baptist, and to Jesus, we don't always recognize the light of God in our midst or form our lives around God's justice and righteousness. We fall short, which if anybody knows anything in the next, well, I think it's what, sometime by January 12th, is that the day we all give up our, resolutions? So we're edging towards that time of the year where we had great hopes and we realize our own shortcomings, where we remember and remind ourselves that we daily need epiphanies. Tomorrow is January 6th. It's the day of Epiphany, where we recognize when the wise men encountered Jesus, that they saw something different than what they had hoped for, saw something different than what they expected, and returned in a different direction, away from Herod, back to their own homes. So we all long for those epiphanies, especially as we enter a new year of hope. We want to find those places where we see God's light pulling us and guiding us. So how do we do that? Like three, you do that by setting intentions, praying, and trusting. So the first thing is to set an intention. We'll try not to call it a resolution, to be a beacon of God's righteous justice to one another and to the world. So set that intention. And then this is good in advance of next week's luncheon. You pray. You ask for help through prayer, for God to send you, for God to strengthen you, for God to reveal what resources God has given you as a community and as an individual that can be used to be that beacon, that compelling message that draws others closer to God. And then you trust that God is with us, that God is with you. God is sending you to be a light in a broken and fearful world. And I didn't know this about the calendar, but this was providence. So before next Sunday, I encourage you to spend some time in prayer asking God to reveal to you one area in your life where you can bring God's righteous justice. So spend time in prayer asking God's light to shine in your life. Where is God sending you? It might be to stand up for someone. It might be to help someone in need. It might be to work for change on an unjust situation, but spend some time in prayer asking God to reveal to you where God is calling you to lead and to be a beacon of God's just righteousness. From there, step out and take action. This is how we become beacons to the nations. Arise, shine, your light has come. Let us reflect the justice and righteousness of God in every action, in every conversation, in every interaction, And when we fall short, may we look to Jesus, the light of the world, and find our strength in Jesus, God with us. Let us go as beacons of God's glory and show the world God's love. Amen. Let us join together in prayer, remembering all those prayers that are on our hearts that have been shared through emails, conversations, and sighs too deep for words. Let us go to God in prayer. God of wonder and mystery, God of the stars and the universe, God of the winding ways and straight paths, we gather today with gratitude for the gift of your constant presence, your trustworthy guidance, and your daring risk-taking with us. You dare to love us despite our inability to respond fully. You dare to care for us despite our challenge in caring for others. You dare to walk with us despite our fickleness. On our own journeys toward the stars and guiding points you put before us, you continue to lead us, guiding us by the teachings of Jesus to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in your loving ways. As we struggle with the wranglings of this world, the wars waged around us, the violence committed daily, the pain of broken relationships and loss, you remain steadfast in your care and devotion for not only us, but your entire creation. It's almost too much to take in sometimes, and even in our doubts and disbeliefs, you remain constantly present to us. We pray for your peace in this world, Lord, that you might lead us to rest and repentance. We pray for those who are lonely, that you might lead us to reach out and be friends. We pray for those who are hungry, that you might lead us to offer sustenance. We pray for those who are sick and grieving, that you might lead us to provide comfort and care. We pray for those who are lost, that you might lead us to give hope and direction. We pray for the countries of the world, that we might find a way to work together to lift one another up. We pray for our leaders in Washington, that your spirit might guide them to set an example for our country and the world to work together. We pray for our denomination, that we may seek to build up this body and be a beacon to the world. We pray for our church leaders, that they may continually seek your spirit in their lives and their daily decisions. And we pray for ourselves, that we might continue on this journey, learning the lessons you offer, seeking the fullness of your perfection, and live as you would have us live. These prayers and hopes we offer in the confidence and gratitude of your love and presence. In the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him. Let us respond to this gift that God has given us with gratitude and by using our gifts in the service to God and neighbor, giving thanks to God. Let us collect our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. We thank you for all the spiritual and material gifts that you have given us, O Lord. We dedicate these gifts to you in gratitude and in hope for the day where all will be fed, all will be sheltered, all will be safe, and all will be streaming towards your heavenly banquet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I remind you to join us for a time of fellowship to continue our worship and community together in Holman Hall following the postlude. In the meantime, hear these words from the prophet Amos. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.